This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:46 right now. In about 20 minutes, we've got The Breakfast Grill. I will be speaking to Sanjay Modi, the Managing Director for APAC, for the Middle and the Middle East, for the recruitment website Monster. Monster, really quite a fascinating story because it was the first public job search on the internet, the first public resume database in the world, and the first to have job search agents or job alerts. They went public on NASDAQ in 1996. But since then, I mean, look, in the last couple of years, Monster has had a really rough time. They saw their share price fall 90%, as you mentioned earlier, Chuang, during the tenure of Sal Yanutsi. And I guess my biggest question to Sanjay Modi this morning would be, has Monster recovered as a company? Because the share price certainly has not. Does that tell me that investors don't believe in the potential of Monster anymore?
Well, I mean, they've been trying to catch up with the social media elements of, you know, of a LinkedIn, for example, which has really taken over Monster's business. But I think they bought Jobber as well.
Jobber is the Tinder for jobs. You can swipe left or right for job applications or applicants or job applications.
What about JobsDB? The other company from Singapore.
A regional player though.
But you know, in Malaysia, JobStreet is still number one. So what is Monster going to be doing to kind of challenge that market leader position? All that and more on The Breakfast Grill with Sanjay Modi from Monster.com. But let's take a look at the local business landscape. Another two joint ventures have clinched contracts under the Pan Borneo Highway project. Naim Holdings, Gamuda, Muda Jaya and Musiati Berhad have all secured contracts totaling 2.9 billion ringgit for the Sarawak portion of the Pan Borneo Highway.
That's right. The project is worth, I think, 16 billion ringgit, and this will be done on a PDP basis, a project delivery partner. The cost seems quite reasonable, going at about 20 million per kilometre for about 800 kilometres of road on the Sarawak side.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's a Pan Borneo Highway, so it spans two countries. Yeah,
mm-hmm. So two countries.
Well, sorry, that's another Freudian slip right
totally
there.
Freudian, yeah.
Sabah will be about the Sabah portion about 13 billion, the Sarawak portion about 16 billion, total about 2,239 kilometers. Sarawak about half of that. So yeah, 20 million ringgit per kilometers. Yeah, I mean, what's 20 million ringgit per kilometre between friends?
Yes, it's certainly a lot cheaper than the MRT project, which the figures are hard to come by, but estimates touted at about 1 billion ringgit per kilometre. Of course, with that project, you got to buy trains and all that.
Yeah.
We also failed to emphasise just how important this project is. I mean, connectivity and mobility in East Malaysia will do wonders for, you know, investment and being conducive for business. Think of what the highway did here for Malaysia, the North-South Highway itself, right?
But
in West Malaysia.
The one thing that we want to know is whether this whole thing will be done within the budgeted cost.
Correct.
And on time as well. Because we have a fantastic reputation for overblowing the budget.
Yes, we do. That's why I think the PDP idea is very relevant, because what happens under this kind of arrangement is that you hire a bunch of contractors, you know, along the lines of Naim and Gamuda and so on, Muda Jaya, so that they are given a set of targets and objectives. And at the end of the day, they have to deliver come what may, whether it's rain or shine, they would have to deliver it. And that, I think, to a great extent, controls the cost of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Unless they go back to the government and say, hey, we need some more money for this, then that's not a good thing.
But then it becomes like a legal suit and everything. I hadn't heard of Musiati, which is one of the companies that had gotten this contract. I hadn't heard of that company before.
Yeah.
But apparently they've got some high-profile projects under their belt, including the upgrading of the Cebu and Sandakan airports.
Must be very linked to the East Malaysian contacts and connections over there.
Jules, you also mentioned Sepura Kencana a little bit earlier. News on them is that they've bagged a 510 million ringgit contract to build offshore pipelines and fibre optic cables for the Anatolian natural gas pipeline in the Turkish Straits.
Yeah, BP also owns some interest in this pipeline as well. This is, as far as Sapura Kanchana is concerned, an engineering procurement, construction and installation. They call it the EPCI contract to build pipelines as well as fiber optic cables.
So basically, this project will bridge Europe and Asia, and they're going to channel natural gas through the southern gas corridor in Azerbaijan to Georgia, Turkey, and the rest of Europe. So big project. So I guess a big win for Sapura Kanchana.
Yeah, they've also got jobs in Mexico and Europe, just under 1 billion ringgit. So apparently, that's part of their efforts in terms of getting new jobs and reducing costs. I mean, I think yesterday, Sapura Kanchana had a three-hour-long AGM.
That's right. Wow. And total this year, according to CEO Tansri Sharil Shamsuddin, he said that 3.1 billion ringgit worth of projects have been bagged this year. And last year, I mean, this is in connection to what we were talking about how the Malaysian oil and gas sector is dealing with the situation and how it affects the banking sector as well. In the last year, Sapura Kanchana, which is one of the biggest oil and gas players in Malaysia, had been dealing with costs. And now they're in a position to go out there and get some sales.
Okay, maybe this is the pivotal point for oil and gas at the moment, right? 752, Tenaga Nasional also announced earnings. Earnings jumped 192% to 2.3 billion ringgit for the third quarter. They say that this was boosted by higher sales of electricity and the impact from the recognition of the imbalance cost pass-through. How much was that from your aircon, Chuang?
You know, having covered Tenaga's earnings in my old days, usually what they tell reporters is that, you know, our electricity growth will mirror the national GDP. So the country grows at 6%, they'll say, you know, electricity grows 6%. So when something jumps by 192%, it's not that Malaysia's GDP is going to grow 192%. The big leap on net profit is mainly due to sharply lower recognition of over-recoverability of imbalance cost pass-throughs amounting to 538 million ringgit in the quarter. What does that mean in English?
Well, in English, that means that Tenaga is not going to be affected by the ups and downs of fuel costs. Whatever the fuel cost is, if it's higher, they'll transfer that to you and me. And if it's lower, they'll get back some recoverability. So fuel is not going to influence them. The ICPT is not going to determine whether Tenaga is going to survive into the long term, right? The government is going to take care of that through the ICPT mechanism. But going back to your idea on the top line, the sales revenue as a mirror of GDP growth, it is pretty strong. I mean, you're talking about 22% revenue growth and electricity sales was up 7%. So I don't know where this is coming from, given that our GDP growth, no doubt the GDP growth is sort of adjusted for inflation. That's growing about 4-5%. So Tenaga's electricity sales up 7%, electricity revenue up 22%.
You know the answer? Haze. Yes.
Please tell
haze?
Me.
Haze. You mean the heat wave?
The heat wave that comes as a result of haze. Everybody at the aircon's going full blast during the haze. And we, you know, what was it? These are full year earnings, right? So in the last, few years, every year, every July or September or even March, now it jumps all over the place. We've got haze. And it lasts for 1-2 months. Yeah.
Tenaga's share price went up as a result of that as well. People sort of hedging their electricity costs by buying into Tenaga.
Yeah. And, you know, sales of aircon units have also jumped through the roof. And I know this because we're in the process of buying some, but inverter aircons are so much more expensive. But if you get an inverter aircon, it's going to be cheaper on your electricity bill, but not many people can afford them. So they're still stuck with the old kind of units.
There you go. Climate change and
climate change,
the share price of Tenaga Nasional.
But Tenaga also mentioned that going forward, there, as you say, Chuang, their revenues are going to mirror the GDP growth, and they remain pretty cautious. In a statement, they said that they took note of Bank Negara's monetary policy statement, and as a result of that, they are cautious.
Okay. More earnings on our menu today. Public Bank, they've posted their second quarter net profit up 5% to 1.26 billion from 1.2 billion a year earlier. They say higher net interest and Islamic banking income. So just very quickly, revenue was also up to 5.02 billion.
It's incredible. I do not, you know,
Public Bank.
To the two key certainties in life, which are death and taxes, you can add a third, which is Public Bank's financial performance. But, you know, yesterday I was at this tech conference, you know, by DNA's Karim's DNA, Karimjit Singh's DNA.
Digital News Asia.
Digital News Asia, right? And everybody talking about disruption. And in financial services, you've got fintech and the attrition that comes to the branch network because of the internet and technology. And Public Bank relies on the branch network, the relationships that their branch managers have with SMEs and all that. I don't know when it's going to hit them, but it seems so resilient. It's incredible.
Yeah, I think they seem to have gotten their strategy correctly, because if you look at loan growth, they're growing 8 to 9% loan growth per annum.
Who is borrowing
money? That is just outperforming the entire banking sector.
Crazy.
And it's nearly twice the national GDP.
Okay, exactly. For such a big bank like Public Bank, they're doing very well as far as loan growth is concerned.
Let's speculate. Let's try and figure out what exactly is shielding Public Bank from all the woes that the banking sector is facing.
Okay, you don't have to speculate because the chairman has come up with a statement. He says lending to the retail banking segment and extension of credit to SME. And I think that this is where fintech is not ready yet to disrupt, because the SME business require a lot of hand-holding, a lot of relationship building, and they borrow in the tens, even hundreds of millions. So you can't have a P2P doing $100 million loan, right?
Yeah, look, I mean, nobody buying cars, nobody buying houses. It's probably the guy who runs a chain of sundry shops in Telok Intan.
And the chairman also says that consumer financing and residential property are also the mainstay of loan growth.
Yeah, I mean, those who are still buying. Yeah.
That is how you crack the code of growing in a volatile environment.
Anyhow, I think the shareholders will be very happy because
dividends
have been declared.
Okay, very nice. Going back to the global business news, US federal prosecutors have launched a criminal investigation into whether individuals at the Mossack Fonseca & Co. law firm that was the center of the Panama Papers scandal, whether they had knowingly helped their clients launder money or evade taxes.
The US DOJ has been very busy.
They've been very, very busy. Mm. Yeah.
So this is the second case.
But this is a good thing, you know?
It's great.
Yeah. Well, whether or not the Panama Papers, so this is coming up from the Panama Papers scandal, whether or not Mossack Fonseca knew, willingly helped them. I don't know. I guess this is kind of unfolding before our very eyes. It took a while with the Panama Papers.
Yeah. You know, there's a Malaysian chapter to the Panama Papers, and I opened it and I saw.
Yeah.
I know quite some not quite a few, but some.
Is
names
your name on there?
No la. Okay. I don't have two pennies to rub together.
All right.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.